me. Just so angry, because at the end of the day, in what universe should we legalize violence against little girls? In what universe do we say child abuse is okay? In what context do we say child abuse is okay?
In February, UNICEF released updated figures on the amount of women who have had their genitals mutilated. Today, 200 million girls and women are living with female genital mutilation, or FGM. The number has increased since 2014 due to population growth and new data from Indonesia. There are many initiatives aimed at curbing FGM, from community engagement to education. There's even a sustainable development goal dedicated to eliminating FGM by 2030. But a group of American gynecologists have another idea. It's called a vulvanic.
A vulvanic would be sticking the vulva with a small instrument, such as a needle or a lancet, just to draw a drop or two of blood. And as much as one would stick a finger to get blood for a blood test, nothing being cut and nothing being removed.
This is Dr. Alan Jacobs, Director of Gynecologic Oncology at Coney Island Hospital in New York. He is one of the co-authors of the paper that proposes a vulvanic. To explain further, there are four types of genital mutilation. There's type 1, which involves removal of part of the clitoris. Type 2, which is the total removal of the clitoris and the inner folds of the vulva. Then there is type 3, which involves cutting and repositioning the inner and outer forms of the vulva, sometimes with the removal of the clitoris. This is called infibulation. Type 4 includes everything else, like pricking and piercing. The authors argue for a new categorization. Without going into too much detail, category 1 would include the vulvanic and any other procedure that doesn't damage the function of the genitalia. Alan says the nick would heal and would only cause pain during the procedure itself.
I think that it would always heal and it would cause minimal pain except at the instant that the nick was being made itself.
However, Angela Dawson doesn't entirely agree.
Okay. Hi, I'm Angela Dawson. I'm a senior lecturer here in the Faculty of Health at University of Technology in Sydney.
Angela says it could go either way. The cut may heal or it may not.
Yeah, it would heal or it may not. There may be adverse conditions that arise from those nicks, cuts. There may be distress and psychological trauma that's experienced by the girls.
Part of the reason this solution is proposed is because the cultural practice is so pervasive. The authors argue that advocacy and legislation haven't done enough to reduce the prevalence. To be clear, the authors of this paper don't condone female genital mutilation. They are merely suggesting a harm minimisation approach. Dr. Jacobs told Think Health he saw it as a transitional step.
Ideally, it would be a transition to stamping out the process, and if it turned out not to be, then we'd still be ahead of the game if people were doing that instead of mutilating the genitalia.
Dr. Jacobs cites the example of a group of Somali people living in Seattle who agreed to a nick-like procedure to substitute type 3 FGM, which is commonly practiced in Somalia.
As a substitute for a worse procedure, this is something that some groups have agreed to in the West, but where there was pushback from activists, and so that it was abandoned in those communities. There are two communities that where this was proposed and almost done were Seattle and Florence, Italy.
But the validity of this study is disputed.
My name is Ruth Macklin, and I'm a professor of bioethics at the Albert Einstein College of Medicine in New York City.
Ruth says it's very unlikely cultures that practice the extreme forms of FGM will accept a nick.
The authors cite some studies, social science studies, that have asked people in the cultures where the practice is the most prevalent, such as Somalia and Sudan, where somewhere more than 95% of the women have undergone this procedure in those cultures. And when they were asked in a social science study whether they approve of a milder form, not eliminating it altogether, but approve a milder form, they said, no, we believe in the, we want to continue the more severe forms in which they're basically cutting, excising the clitoris, the labia, or even sewing up the woman in what's called infibulation. So it's very unlikely that those cultures are going to accept the nick.
And as for the nick being useful as a transitional step, the counter-argument is that it normalises an otherwise condemnable practice. Khadija Blah is an FGM survivor and anti-FGM campaigner.
The key message in the fight against FGM is eradication. It's stopping it. It's not to come up with lesser forms. There is no such thing as a lesser form.
Khadija goes even further. She believes that this lesser form of FGM is still child abuse.
I think what they essentially what they're advocating for is a compromise on child abuse. Female genital mutilation is child abuse. There's no two ways about it.
Angela Dawson agrees that harm minimisation is not an appropriate approach, even if it is transitional.
And it's interesting that the language that's used is sort of, and the arguments put forward are predicated on the harm minimisation and harm reduction arguments. So this isn't the belief that undertaking FGM within hygienic and sterile procedures and having it performed by a health professional will therefore reduce any adverse outcomes. And I've suggested that there are in fact some adverse outcomes. But I think this serves to prolong and legitimise the practice. And because health professionals are they have a high status in our society and we generally support their views, therefore health professionals undertaking FGM within a legitimised and euphemised environment may serve to maintain the practice.
Part of the argument for FGM is that we shouldn't eliminate a cultural or religious practice, and that the milder forms of FGM are comparable to male circumcision. But Ruth says not all cultural practices deserve respect.
Well, let's think of some of the more extreme things that have been done in the name of culture over the years. Sacrifice of human beings, killing the firstborn, femicide, as it's called, in cultures that have a very strong male preference for sons. There it's well known that even today, baby girls or both at the time of abortion when it's a fetus, but even a baby girl infant is sometimes killed. Now, these are cultural practices and they don't deserve respect precisely because they involve killing or otherwise harming human beings.
FGM at its core, according to Ruth, is about controlling women. And even the nick plays into this paradigm.
One could claim that if it's done hygienically by physicians with anesthesia in an appropriate setting, that it does not cause, certainly doesn't cause permanent harm. And if done with an anesthesia, arguably it doesn't cause pain. But then we have to look at the purpose of this ritual and why it exists. It is a practice, as practiced in the extreme, but even also some of the milder forms. It's a way of controlling women. That's the very purpose of it. In its more extreme forms, when the area around the vagina is sewn up, it's to prevent the woman from actually having sex with anybody other than the person that she is destined to marry. And that itself can be a rather brutal circumstance because the husband has to take a knife and cut the woman open in order to be able to have marital sexual intercourse. But the whole practice, even today, used in the milder forms, is still a way of controlling women. And here's the example. If a woman has to be cut in some way or other in order to be marriageable, that is, to be a candidate for marriage, that's another way of controlling women.
Medicalization of the practice was raised as a cause for concern by both Angela and Khadija. Angela says that even in countries where the practice is performed by a trained professional, things can still go pear-shaped.
And in fact, this medicalization of practice, which is performed in Malaysia and Egypt, is highly problematic. A couple of years ago, a 13-year-old girl died under the knife of a qualified, regulated surgeon who has actually since been struck off. So this young girl, with all her life before her, bled to death within a legitimised environment.
Khadija says she thinks gynaecologists will use this as a way to make money.
the point is, they're basically trying to legalize child abuse. And it's also, then the money goes to them. They will make money off child abuse, essentially. That's what they're calling for.
We have put Khadija's concerns to Dr. Jacobs in writing, as he was unavailable to comment at the time of broadcast. We will publish Dr. Jacobs' response on our website. Everyone does agree on one thing, though. Education is key. Dr. Jacobs again.
I think that it should be done. It's something that we pretty much all disapprove of mutilating female genital procedures, and we should try to encourage people to stop them.
Angela says we have evidence that education does work.
We do have some good research from Africa and the beginnings of some good work in the UK, where changing the rites of passage for young girls from FGM to other community designated events or practices, as well as involving men in community activities and education, can actually be quite instrumental in changing behaviours.
Khadija worries that conversations like this about the NIC are an unnecessary distraction from eradication.
The fact that we're having this conversation, to be honest with you, takes away from the fight that we are doing all over the world, women and men and, you know, people, are, the efforts we're putting into making sure that this extreme form of child abuse stops.
It's certainly a hard debate to swallow, let alone make up your mind about. Khadija says we need to remember who we're talking about here.
Look, for people listening, and I know when it comes to female genital mutilation, there's so many voices and there's so many inputs from different people, and there's so many reasons thrown around. The discussion goes round and round in circles. This is what I want people to remember, if nothing else at all. Female genital mutilation is about little girls. It's about those little girls and their right to not be mutilated. It's about little girls and their right to grow up to be healthy women. It's as simple as that. Let's all remember, we have cousins, we have daughters, we have nieces. This is about little girls, and they don't have a voice. And they look to us to protect them and to defend them.
If you'd like to find out more about that debate, including hearing Khadija's full story, you can find extra links on our website, 2ser.com/thinkhealth.